Hi felters and crafters, today we're going to talk about my top craft fair tips and advice. I was going to call it my top 10, but I've got way more than that for you. Let's get started. Welcome to the Needle Felting Addict. My name is Philippa from Felts by Philippa. I have a full YouTube channel for needle felters, but I also cover lots of things to do with running your own business and showing you how I run mine to help you if you wanted to start your own. So, my top craft fair tips. As I said, I've got more than 10. Now, the first three are going to be the most important, and I'm just going to hit you with it. Get a card reader. Don't bother going unless you get a way in which you can take card payments, because 80 to 90% of my sales are on a card. iZettle, SumUp, Square, those are the ones, you know, we can definitely use in the UK. I don't know about in the US, but I'm sure there's plenty out there. My iZettle only cost me £30, and you lose the credit card fees of about 2 to 3%, but that's it. But it's so important. There are nowadays, especially since COVID and lockdown, everybody wants to pay on card. Do carry cash. I have a £70 petty cash sort of money bag that I put around my waist. If I was to pop off for a break, I take that money with me. I don't ever put it down anywhere. I've heard so many people have their little petty cash tins stolen. Put something on you, put it in a bag, anything, in your pocket. Even if you don't have a bag, just shove it in your pocket. But do carry a bit of cash. Do put a sign up saying that you accept credit cards, because that really helps people. The less people have to ask you, because some people are quite shy, the better it is. I've recently just got this new sign and it says, "I accept all major credit cards," and then in brackets, "especially your husband's." And I wasn't sure how it was, honestly, how it was going to go, whether people were going to like it. But I had people straight away. This lady said, "Oh, my husband wants to buy that cow for me," and walked off. And he said, "I thought that sign said accept my husband's." But anyway, I do have another sign as well, which is the typical credit card Visa signs. And literally you can print it out. Put it in a little frame, that would make it look a bit smarter. But if you go on Etsy, you can buy these things. I had a sticker to begin with that I just put on one of my boxes, and that was like £3. So you can do these things cheaply. So, card reader, don't bother going unless you have one. Practice your display properly at home. This is huge. It just takes away all the nerves on the day. And get everything out, get the table out. I don't care where you do it, if it's in the garden, even if you don't put all of your creations onto it, practice the base display and then take a photo when you're happy with it. And that photo will be so good for you on the day when you arrive, because unloading, it can be quite hectic. It can be really nerve-wracking. If you have got a plan and you know it takes you an hour to set up, give yourself an hour and a half. But if you've practiced at home, practice the shape you want to have it in. So what size have you got? Do you want to have one table, two tables? Are they going to be in an L shape, a U shape? You know, if you put them right at the back, sometimes people don't always want to come right into your stand. So sometimes I like to move tables sort of halfway along, so that, you know, they don't have to walk all the way in and then you're just sitting in the corner sort of right on top of them staring at them, and you've got no room for your cash register and where you're going to wrap everything. So if you practice at home, it will really, really help you. And a display does not have to be expensive. Tablecloth, essential. I really do think you need some form of tablecloth. You can get those stretchy ones for about £12 on Amazon, and then you don't have to worry about the wind blowing them, and you just put them on, there's no creases, so they're quite good. So I think definitely have a tablecloth. But you can have baskets from home, shelving from home. You can have cardboard boxes and put a piece of cloth over them, and that will give you some height really, really cheaply. I'm going to be doing quite a big show soon, so I'm going to have some planks of wood and I have them raised at different levels and cover them up. So that's not too bad. Planks of wood, what, £10? Well, I don't know, wood's a bit more expensive now, but it shouldn't cost me too much. Do try and get height on your table. It's not completely essential. I have seen really good striking displays where things have been flat on the table, But if you have something at eye level, you catch people's eyes. People are, well, they're not lazy. It's your eyes are lazy. You're looking up at that level all the time. And if you see something at your eye level and then it draws you in and then people will come over and have a look. So your display, there's tons, just go on Pinterest. There's lots of ideas. There's ideas of trying to do it without spending too much money. But like I said, cardboard boxes, cover with a cloth, different heights, brilliant. I personally quite like the stacking wooden boxes because they look really good. You transport your items in them. That is a pain because you have to take everything out before you can do your display. And along with that, I'm sure I mention it later anyway, but make sure you know where your tablecloth is, because when you arrive, that's the first thing you need before you can do anything else. And it's really annoying if you don't know where it is because you're just running around panicking, trying to find it. I have seen people unloading everything, trying to find the tablecloth. So know where your tablecloth is. Have it on top of a bag so you can just put your table up, tablecloth on, and then you can just unload really easily. So practice your display at home properly. Take photos. Do price your items. So many people don't want to talk to you. They don't. If something doesn't have a price, you kind of think it's quite expensive. If something has a price, you're in there straight away. If someone was in a shop and a t-shirt or a jumper wasn't priced, it's kind of annoying. So I personally think you should price your items. Always do all your pricing before you go there. Don't think, oh, I'm going to arrive and then I'll have an hour of writing out my price tags, because you won't. You might get customers straight away. That's great, obviously, but you won't have time to do everything. And then you'll be like, oh my goodness, I haven't labelled everything. So it can take me about 2 hours to sit down and label everything and write the price down when I do it at home. So that shows you how long it can take. Just get it done beforehand, get everything labelled. So you just unload them and they're done. I say price things because people don't want to engage with you that much sometimes. And if they have to, if they're sort of quite shy and they have to start talking to you, they won't like, they're more likely to walk off than to ask you, I think personally. So how can you price your items? There are little gift tags you can buy, and you can buy 100 for like £3, and then a little bit of string or wool and write the prices on. Sometimes if you've got room, I like to write a little bit more about the item. I now have branded price tags that I got from Vistaprint, and they look really sort of professional, because the more people see your brand logo and your brand name, the more professional you appear, or they think you are. If you have a group of items that are the same price, you can just get a big sign so you don't have to label all 10 of them. So signage for some of those grouped items as well. So card reader, practice your display, price your items. Those are the main things, I think. And then we've got loads of extras. Do have business cards on the table. People still want to pick something up and take it away if they can't purchase from you then and there. I probably have about 10 to 15 people take business cards on the day. So do have it, and do have a way in which they can contact you on that business card, through Instagram, through Facebook. You don't have to have a website. If you have one, that's great. Etsy shop, whatever you have, pop it on there. Even if it's just an email, maybe you're not on social media and you don't want to be, just have an email and maybe pop on that you do commissions, or, you know, so they have a way of contacting you. Because people, they go around, they talk to you, but they might not have the money to spend on the day. But Christmas might be coming up, so presents, you know, might be coming up. So do get business cards. They are £20 to £30 to get about at least 100, 150, 250. I don't think they're an expense that's not worth doing. They definitely are worth doing. And again, it looks professional. I used to have a QR scanner. I still have it somewhere. I had a big board, well, not massive, but this board with a QR scanner code so people could just get straight onto my website. No one in the history of me putting it up, probably about 15 times, no one has ever, or I have ever seen them scan it. So, and even with that there, they would take a card. They don't want, I don't know, they just didn't want to scan it. But so, moving on to sort of tips about on the day, do arrive early. It is, like I said, a bit of a mad panic. You don't know how far away, if you've not done the craft fair before, you don't know how far away you're going to be, how difficult it's going to be to unload, how many trips walking backwards and forwards you're going to have to do. Definitely arrive a little half an hour earlier than you think you should, because then you'll get set up and you'll literally sit down and have a cup of tea or go and get a drink or pop to the loo. So definitely plan to arrive a little bit earlier than you should. Do chat to other vendors throughout the day. These are the people that have the knowledge, not all of them, but some of them will have done lots of craft fairs. Some of them will have done that craft fair before. There will be so many little bits of information you can gain from them. And also, if you're on your own, because quite often I do craft fairs on my own, they are the ones that are going to keep an eye on my stand. I take my money, I take my phone and everything important, and I run to the loo, come back, and they are so kind. Half the time, people will be like, oh, that lady over there, she's just walked around a bit. She was quite interested in something. She said she'd come back, you know. So it's really, and then you can help them out too. Don't spend all day moaning if, say, you did arrive late, you've not had any sales in the first 2 hours, you're really tired. Don't sit there moaning, because I think other vendors won't like it, and it does bring the whole atmosphere down. It's not nice if the organizer is to hear about it. These things are hard work for people to organize. And I watch Fauna Rose, and she organizes some craft fairs, and the amount of work and money that they put into organizing a day, it is quite surprising how much work that does go into them. And so, you know, if you're not having a good day and there's not enough people there, guess what? You're not going to go back. That's, you know, as simple as. But you don't need to sit there and moan about it too much. Obviously, if you're talking to other vendors and they're saying it's a quiet day, and they've been before, then you know that it is a one-off quiet day. I've had several in my time where it's just a odd atmosphere, no one's buying. So you just honestly don't know how days are going to go sometimes, but just don't sit there and moan all day. People, it's just not good for your business. Another one that's really hard is don't compare yourself to other vendors, which, if you see a vendor beside you having lots of sales, it's really disheartening. But I can sit there for 2 hours and have no sales, and then someone can come up and spend a larger amount of money, and suddenly my sales are looking good for the day. I'm a lot happier. So don't panic. If people aren't buying, maybe go out, have a look, see if anything needs tidying, moving around, making a bit clearer, bringing forwards to the front. So, and then do have a look at other vendors' tables and how they've displayed things, especially if someone is selling well. But don't worry, the sales will come in. I always say it's to do with footfall, basically, in my eyes, completely and 100% to do with footfall. So 100% people walk past your stall. 50% of people ignore my stall, don't get it, don't like it, don't want to. They just think it's weird. I can see their faces. They don't know what it is. Probably about of that other 50%, you know, another 30% will look at your stall and think, that's interesting, that's unusual. They might slow down a bit. And then of the other 20%, they will come over, have a look, and be quite interested. And then of that, maybe 2 to 5% might purchase something. So if you only have 10 people, or say 100 people walking past, that's 2 to 5 sales. But if you had 1,000 people walking past, that's 20 to 50 sales. So it is all to do with numbers. So if you have a bad day, don't panic too much. It could be a numbers game. That's all it is. Plan ahead. Don't go taking a booking for a craft fair next weekend. It just doesn't give you enough time to order stuff in if you haven't got business cards, work out your display, practice it. Just give yourself 4 weeks. I have a video on my channel of the whole process. So what you should be doing 4 weeks before, 2 weeks before, 1 week before, the night before, on the day. And it just gives you some sort of structure. It was a video, there were two videos I think I did a long time ago, and I really went to town with trying to give you everything you need to make you feel confident about going to a craft fair. The first market you do, or craft fair, is probably a trial run. Don't expect too much. It's literally a learning curve to have you got everything you need. Is it all displayed? Are people coming over and interacting? If there's no sales, don't worry. It's your first one. Don't give up just because you got no sales. I've worked with other sort of companies at craft fairs with their products, and I've had no sales. I have gone to craft fairs and had no sales for, and there was, I worked for one company and sales was, it was a cooking company, cookware. Who buys cookware at a craft fair? So I used to get no sales. I used to get names, and I used to do a little sort of quiz thing and a prize draw, and I used to get names that way, which was how I wanted it or how I wanted to work, but I had no sales a lot of the time, and it's quite disheartening. But it's a trial run that, can you get in there? Is everything set up right? Have you got everything you need that's working? Does the card reader work? And then come away and think, okay, well, didn't get any sales. Is it my items? Were people not looking at them at all? Is it the place? Try and look at other venues. So yeah, the first one, don't have high expectations. If people are coming over, looking at your stuff, they're talking about it. If somebody starts picking up an item or touching it, that's when they're likely to be interested in purchasing it, and they're just trying to rationalize whether to make that spend quite often in their head. So it's good for you to see what people are looking at, what people are touching, what people are interested in. Those are probably your best sellers. Write down what you do sell. It makes it easier when you get home. Try and do it immediately after the sale. I always have bags out ready. I have a little packing table at the back, which for me was a lifesaver because I wrap things in tissue paper, put them in a bag, and oh, it was so hard without that extra table. I had no room and no space to sort of pack things. And that is another thing which I have got on my list here. Don't forget to get bags because you sort of plan everything for standing there being ready with your creations, and then you forget that you've got to package it up and give it to people. So quite often, the first few events that people do, they're like, oh my goodness, bags, I forgot about bags. So yeah, do get your bags sorted or your packing system, and I put a little care leaflet into my bags as well. If someone comes to your table, don't jump on them. I have a lovely little village hall near me, and it's quite small. There's only about 12 or 14 vendors in there, and you're very much on top of each other. When you're walking round, they're right there. And some of them do go into the spiel about how their items were made without me even asking. And sometimes I just want to have a little look to see if I'm interested first. So almost at my craft fairs, if people are looking, that's great. And I sort of almost talk about anything except my items. I'll talk about the weather. I say, have you come far? Have you been here before? If I hear them talking about needle felting and saying they've done it, then I talk to them a little bit. Or sometimes I'll say, oh, I'm here if you need me. I'm just doing a little bit of crocheting. Do shout if you need me. Because sometimes my stand is quite, I'm sort of hidden behind it because of the amount of height I've got on it. If you're really shy, just smile. All you have to do, you don't have to say anything to people. Just smile. They know you're there. And say, I'm here if you need me. But literally, a smile will do it. So, have business insurance, especially if you have a gazebo. I don't do outdoor events anymore because of the issues with weather. And wind is like your biggest fear with a gazebo. I had weights on it. I had, and it would, I've broken gazebos. Well, I didn't break them. The wind broke them. I've had too much sun, too much rain, too much wind, and I just give up. And especially with now my needle felted creations, I don't want them getting wet. I really, really don't. So I personally stick to indoor ones now. It makes my life a lot easier, especially as I'm on my own a lot of the time. You can put gazebos up on your own. It's perfectly possible. It's just hard work. But have business insurance. I'm with the International Felt Makers Association, which is a magazine that comes out every 3 months. It's about £44 a year for the magazine, and you get insurance included. I'm not sure where they stand on international insurance, but I mean, just you can get insurance just for an event, which in the UK, I think something like that costs you between £20 to £25, or you can get it for the year. I have had quotes of like about 140, 150 for actual insurance for a year. So that's why the International Felt Makers Association is really good value. And it's also covering me for my workshops when I went in and read all the small print. So don't forget bags for people. I've done that. Do have your logo around as much as you can, because as I said, it's really good for looking professional. If you can afford a banner, go for it. Now, I've always had a banner that pulls up and stands up behind me, but I have found I've struggled to get that banner out sometimes because it was quite cramped. And also, I have to tie it to something, or I have a rock on it to keep it stable. Now I've gone for the banner at the front, down at the bottom of the, front of the table, sort of hanging down. But when people stand in front of your table, it does get blocked up. So I try and have my logo on the table somewhere, and like it's on my price tags, and it just looks cohesive and professional. Do take drinks. And food, hopefully, unless you know that you can definitely get food there. But drinks are number one. Like when you finished your setup, you just need a drink and you need to sit down. I take a flask of tea because I'm a bit old school like that. I just love it. I drink my tea all morning. You might not be able to get away from your table for the first hour. You just don't know when the breaks are going to come. Definitely take a drink, but take food as well. And then if Because I find these things quite hard work, and I always feel if I've got a little nice thing to eat, so I might go and buy a treat, then it helps me through the day. So sometimes I do allow myself to go and purchase a little treat from another vendor, and it's always lovely to support other vendors. Take headache tablets because you don't want to be without them. Take mints for after you've eaten, because if you're talking to a customer and you've just eaten something, you're thinking, oh my God, maybe my breath smells. Just take some mints, tissues, and maybe wipes to clean your hands if you can't get away. Because I have eaten like a sort of a burger thing, and then my hands are dirty. And if someone's there, quickly wipe your hands. It's much, much better. Take a chair. I don't, these people that say you've got to stand all day. I'm not there for that. I am not there for standing all day. If someone comes up and they're interested, I'm definitely there. I'm standing up. I'm a bit more attentive. I'm not sort of on top of them, but I'm letting them know I'm around. But you need to sit down at some point. It is a long day. Most of these things are 4 hours. The one I do is 6 hours. So plus set up and take down, that's 7, 8 hours you're there. So you need to sit down. Always take things like scissors, sellotape, string. All these things will be really useful. You'll never know when you're going to need them. So I think I've covered everything I wanted to just throw in there. Oh yes, warm clothes. I go to this yummy Yorkshire in Barnsley, and it's in a barn. And I always think, oh, it's not that cold. Get there, and I am freezing. I have taken hot water bottles, coats. I stand on cardboard when it's that cold because we're on concrete. Take warm clothes. Just take a coat. Just throw a coat in so that if you need it, it's there. So many times I don't, and I kick myself. I did one last Sunday, and it was cold for the first 3 hours. I was really cold, and then it warmed up, and I was fine. But it's April, and I was cold anyway. So, like I said, pop on my channel, see the full video. I've also got a little PDF in my Etsy shop, which has got a list of everything you should possibly need and how to help you plan for a craft fair. Do give me any comments on any of my YouTube videos if you have any questions, but you know, this is just something to help you and things for you to think about. And go and do it. Go and do your craft fair. If it's your first one, be brave. Choose one that's not too expensive and just give it a go. It's hard work, but that is the immediate feedback you get from people is so important for your business. And as much as I find them hard work and think, oh, I'm just going to stop doing them, it's so important to get out there and see what people are liking of your stuff. So I hope that's helped a little bit, giving you a bit of confidence to go and do it. So thanks for listening and talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.